Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that was written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this important, clear, direct word from you to us in the pages of our Bibles. Lord, many have endured much this past year. Many are weary of the challenge, weary of the recommendations and regulations. But Lord, we thank you today for the finished work of Jesus Christ in his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. And we thank you for the blessed hope, the promise of his return in the air to catch up those who believe. And so, Lord, may that encouragement come to us today, and may each one here, if there would be someone who has not yet received Jesus as their Savior, that they would receive him this morning and become part of this promised blessed hope. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, today we're looking at the last mystery in our series, and you do see in verse 51, Paul says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." Paul is saying, I'm telling you something that was veiled in the Old Testament, not clearly stated in the Old Testament, but is now being clearly stated in the New, and it's being clearly stated right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This mystery. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know, if we said this morning, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you would have said, that's the love chapter, right? I said, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the resurrection chapter. So you can remember it that way. The resurrection chapter, it's all about the bodily resurrection, starting with Jesus' bodily resurrection. And so we are dealing with physical bodies in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we continue dealing with them here. So, this mystery, verses 51 through 53, we see the validation of this mystery. What is it? What is Paul talking about? Well, this mystery includes the truth. Not all believers will physically die. Do you see it in verse 51? We will not all sleep. We believers, he's talking about, not all believers will sleep. And the word sleep is a picture word concerning physical death. You know this from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which we'll be going back and forth to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, because the truths in 1 Corinthians 15 really line up with the truths in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13, we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. It's pretty clear there that what Paul is talking about is physical death. Those who have died, fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. So not all believers will physically die. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:51, we will not all sleep. Now, that is a fascinating statement. And it's at the heart of what Paul calls the mystery. We will not, believers, We will not all physically die. Now you say, well, the norm, Hebrews 9:27, is it's been appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. That is the norm. You've even heard evangelists preach the death rate is 100%. Everybody's going to die. Well, normally, generally, that is true. But do you know there will be some believers at a particular time, which we'll see in this moment, that will not physically die? Now, does that get your attention? Say, well, we're all going to die. Oh? If you're looking forward to Jesus coming in the air to take you to be with him, you're not looking forward to physically dying. You're looking forward to being taken up without dying. And so the mystery is, you may well be in the generation of believers at the present time who will never physically die. Now, isn't that something to really think about? You may be. Not all believers will physically die. That's Paul's first statement in this mystery. The second statement is, all believers will be physically changed. Still looking at verse 51, we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Believers who die physically, they will be changed. And believers who don't die physically, they will be changed. And we are, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, talking about a physical change. A change in your body. A physical transformation. It's called the glorification of your body. You'll be changed. We're going to see this will be like Jesus' resurrected body. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Our citizenship is in heaven. Say, well, I have citizenship papers that say I'm a citizen of the United States of America. Okay, but if you're saved, you have a higher citizenship than the United States of America. You do. And it's a more important citizenship than the United States of America. Our citizenship is in heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. That's where I belong. That's where I am to live, heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has, even to subject all things to Himself. When your body is changed, glorified, what will it be like? It will be like the resurrected body of Jesus. Keep that in mind. Your resurrected body will be like Jesus' resurrected body. We won't go into all the details of that this morning. There's another whole message in that. Like Jesus' resurrected body will be physically changed. Now, what will that be like, and when is it, and what are the details of it? The beginning of verse 52 tells us this will be instantaneous. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. How long does it take for you to have your body transformed into a glorified body like Jesus? Can you twinkle your eye? That long. Not even a second. It's instantaneous. That's an amazing truth. And it instantaneously happens for believers who have died in Christ. They will be resurrected and glorified. And for those who have not yet died, who will be caught up, an instantaneous change. Notice as well in verse 52, this will be the fulfillment, prophetically speaking, of the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. It says, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised. At the last trumpet. Now the last trumpet is the last shofar blast. It's a really long one and a really loud one. The last shofar blast of the Feast of Trumpets. And that's what Paul has in mind here. Now, there are some who want to question, and you realize this will get you into error. So it's important that you get this right. There are those who want to question and say, well, isn't the last trumpet the last trumpet of the book of Revelation. You know, there are seven trumpets in the book of Revelation. Isn't this the seventh trumpet of the book of Revelation? So isn't that when the rapture is? And the answer to that is emphatically no. This cannot be the last trumpet of the book of Revelation. Do you know why? The apostle Paul, who wrote 1 Corinthians, never heard of the trumpets of Revelation. He didn't know anything about them. 1 Corinthians was written in AD 55. The book of Revelation was not written until after AD 90. Paul was deceased before Revelation was written. Paul never read the book of Revelation. He didn't have it. So when Paul says the last trumpet, he's talking about the trumpet that he knew about, which would have been the last trumpet of the Feast of Trumpets, which Paul knew about from the Old Testament and from Jewish practice. So that's what Paul had in mind. If you make this the last trumpet of the book of Revelation, then you must put the rapture either in the middle or after the middle of the tribulation period. But the rapture is before the tribulation period even starts. So it's important that you get this right. This is the final blast of the Feast of Trumpets. In Jewish understanding, the final blast of the Feast of Trumpets is also an indicator to them that Messiah is coming to claim his bride. That's part of Rosh Hashanah. That's part of the celebration of it. Messiah is coming to claim his bride. Well, in fact, that is exactly what this is. This is Messiah, Jesus, coming in the air to claim his bride, the church, and take his bride to his Father's house in accordance with Jewish wedding ceremony practices. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 again, verse 16, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. At the sound of that trumpet, it's instantaneous. It's the fulfillment prophetically of the Feast of Trumpets. By the way, Rosh Hashanah prophetically pictures the rapture. The Feast of Tabernacles prophetically pictures the second coming of Jesus to earth. So Rosh Hashanah, his coming in the air. Tabernacles, his coming all the way to the earth. The end of verse 52 and into verse 53. Instantaneously fulfilling the Feast of Trumpets, the bodies of believers who have died will be raised, glorified. Verse 52 says it. And the dead will be raised. These are the dead in Christ. They'll be raised imperishable. Verse 53, this perishable, your mortal body that can perish and decay, will become imperishable. And this mortal, this body that is capable of dying, will put on immortality, can never ever die again. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. The Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So those believers who have died before this instant will be raptured first, but they'll be raptured out of their graves. Their bodies will be taken up instantly, changed, glorified. Now, their spirits are already in heaven. You know, believers, some of them are your loved ones, believers who have died. They are in heaven. Now their bodies are still in the grave, but they are in heaven, and they are in a temporary, intermediate state kind of body that they will continue to live in until this moment of the rapture, when their body will be resurrected, raised out of the ground, and glorified. It's an amazing truth. One more thing here in verse 52. The bodies of believers still living at that moment, like if the rapture came right now, and it could. The bodies of believers still living at that moment, then that would be you. You're still living, right? Just checking. Your body will be changed. We will be changed, glorified, instantly glorified. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 tells us that we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Instantaneously changed. I've had people say to me, now if the rapture happens right now and I'm taken up, will I hit my head on the ceiling on the way up? No, because in a moment, in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, you will be glorified, so you'll go right through the ceiling. You won't even feel it. You won't bump your head. Say, well, what if I'm driving my car at that time? Well, you'll go through that roof too. Say, well, what happens to my car? I can't vouch for that. If you're not in it driving it, somebody else is in trouble at that moment. Well, what if I'm in an airplane? Yeah, okay. You'll go through it. Your body will be glorified. Well, what if it's already been decayed? What if it was buried at sea and got eaten by sharks or whatever? What happens then? It will be glorified. Yeah. All of those things will supernaturally be overcome by resurrection. This is resurrection power. Instant glorification. And we will then forever be with the Lord. Now, that's the mystery. Paul has just validated it. That's the mystery. We won't all die. Those who die as believers will be resurrected. The rest of us will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. It's an amazing truth. And Paul says it was veiled in Old Testament festivals, the Feast of Trumpets. But now Paul says, I'm making it clear to you. This is the mystery. Now, this mystery that's been validated brings great victory. I don't know, maybe there are some of you that think what I've said so far is weird. But I hope most of you think what I've said is pretty exciting. And this is the next thing coming on God's prophetic timetable. It's exciting. There's victory involved in this mystery. It is what Paul called the blessed hope. Titus 2:13. The blessed hope of his appearing. And we're looking for it. We're anticipating it all the time. I want to tell you, the blessed hope, which is your real hope, the blessed hope is more powerful than death. We're going to see that. It's more powerful than death. It's more powerful than sickness. It's more powerful than the government. It's more powerful than the coronavirus. You know, oh my, we're in a world that is so worn out right now, aren't we? But I want to tell you, real hope is more contagious than the virus. Think about it. The victory of this mystery. Verse 54, we see the certainty of imperishable immortality. This perishable, verse 54, will have put on the imperishable, a body that can decay and wear out and perish, will be glorified into a body transformed so that it cannot decay. It cannot wear out. It cannot age. It's imperishable. And it's immortal. This mortal will have put on immortality. That means it cannot die. Paul says, verse 54, then will come about the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The resurrection swallows up death. The resurrection is victorious over death. The saying that Paul is referring to comes from Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8. He will swallow up death for all time. The Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces. He will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Paul says, you know what? When you are raptured, resurrected, that is fulfilled. Death loses. Death has lost. And so that which is immortal and imperishable, 1 Peter chapter 1, we've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1, 4, to an inheritance imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, that is your glorification salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The certainty that you will become unable to perish, unable to decay, unable to be sick, unable to die, immortal. Now, that is part of eternal life. Eternal life is much bigger than just living forever. Eternal life, Jesus said it, John 17, 3, eternal life is knowing God. But living forever is part of that. Eternal life, we're certain of it. So victory swallows up death. Verses 55 through 57, the defeat of death and its sting. Death, where is your victory? Well, it has none. Death, where is your sting? It's gone. Why? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ lived a perfect and substitutionary life, fulfilling all of the law. Now the law, which tells us about our sin, and Paul says here, sin is the sting of death. Jesus fulfilling the law and dying on the cross as the substitute for you and your sins, and raising from the dead himself into a glorified body, overcoming death, and ascending to the right hand of his Father in heaven, where he remains until this moment of the rapture comes. Jesus accomplished all of that. Jesus removed your law breaking. He removed your sin by taking it upon himself and dying for it. Therefore, you have victory over death in Jesus Christ. Jesus removed the sting of death. If Jesus fulfilled the law and removed your sin, then he has removed all of your fear and all of your concern about physical death. He has. The sting is gone. Death has no more sting for the believer. By the way, this passage is not culturally bound at all. The fear of death, fear of physical death, is something we find anywhere you go in the world. Any culture, it's there. And salvation in Jesus Christ overcomes the fear of death in every culture. That means it can for you too. If you're in Christ, you don't need any fear. Jesus took it all. If you're not yet in Christ, take him to be your Savior today, and your fear will be gone as well. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. The sting of death, the victory and sting of death, this is a fulfillment of Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. Paul's answer to the question posed in Hosea 13, shall I ransom them from the power of Sheol, redeem them from death? The answer is Yes, I will. They had trouble seeing it in Hosea's day. Paul says, this is the fulfillment that I'm talking about. Sin removed, fear gone. Therefore, verse 58 begins with the word therefore. We see the eternal value of faithfully serving the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding, an abundance of work, the work of the Lord. Knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. It is eternally worthwhile. Now, this is so important. If you are saved, your service for the Lord has value. You are always to be abounding in it. Say, well, you just told us that the rapture's coming, and it could be any moment, even while we're still alive. So what do I need to be serving the Lord for? I'm just hanging out waiting for the rapture. No, Paul's application of waiting for the rapture is stay involved in the work of the Lord. Stay involved in it. You know, it's possible that some are weary of waiting for the rapture. Say, you know, hey, I've been hearing this all my life, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm still waiting, and I'm getting a little weary of waiting and looking for the rapture. Well, don't grow weary of that. Stay involved in serving the Lord. Some are just weary of life, maybe weary of work, weary of problems, weary of sicknesses and all kinds of things, and you just say, I just want the rapture to come now so I can escape all this. No, we're not looking to the rapture merely as an escape. Yes, it will be one. But we're not looking to the rapture merely as an escape. We're looking to the rapture as though it is the final quarter of the game, the contest. You know, sometimes athletic coaches will say to their team, now, don't take any of it off the field. Just leave it all on the field. It's a way of saying, give it your all. Don't spare anything. Just leave it all on the field. Leave it all on the court. Leave it all on the track. Leave it all on the rink or whatever sport you're talking about. Don't leave and get raptured, and you say, well, but there was still all kinds of undone service I should have been doing for the Lord. No, the same Paul who wrote this said, I finished my course. You know, He played well, and he played to the end. Maybe you're weary, but it's time to serve. We're not just waiting for an escape. We're serving with an abounding purpose. And it's eternally worthwhile. That's hope, too. It really is. Some of you know these lyrics from O Holy Night. The thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. There's a new and glorious morn, and it will be in heaven. It's the rapture. You'll be caught up to be with him. That is the thrill of hope. And even if it's a weary world, this is the hope that gives the weary world joy. The weary world rejoices. So we're at the last Sunday of 2020. Maybe some of you are going, whew, glad that's over with. Who knows what 2021 will bring, but you know, we may not even see 2021. We could get raptured before January 1st. We could. That's the blessed hope. Rejoice in it. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the hope that is ours in Christ. We rejoice in it. Yes, Lord, we long for it, but we long for it not merely for escape, but we do realize it is the joy of being forever with you. It is the joy of reward for service. And so, Lord, as long as we do wait, may we serve faithfully, and may we be encouraged that those who have died, gone on before us in Christ, will rise first. And we will experience that great reunion with them in the air. Lord, I pray even now, if there's even just one, maybe here this morning or maybe watching in online, who has not yet trusted that Jesus died to pay the price for their sin, Jesus died the death they should have died. Jesus paid the penalty and rose again and offers forgiveness and eternal life to that one who will receive it by faith. May they believe on Jesus, take that forgiveness and salvation that he offers, and know that they have eternal life.